Ciao a tutti! I am recently returned from 3 weeks in Italy, and wow, was it ever amazing! This was my second visit to this gorgeous country as part of a research trip looking at cooking classes and tour possibilities for a tour I'm hosting in May of 2012. My travel partner, Andrea King, was a wonderful and knowledgeable companion, and I was happy to have an experienced traveler with me. We visited four regions while we were there: Tuscany, Lazio, Campania, and Umbria. Italy has 20 total regions, which is pretty amazing when you consider that it's a country roughly the same size as Arizona. Each region is very unique. It has its own history, culture, food specialties, and even dialects. We started in Tuscany, visiting several cities such as Florence, Cortona, Pistoia, Lucca, Siena, and Pietrasanta. They were all lovely and had lots in common from a food perspective. It actually made it easier for me to remember where I was. In Tuscany, they're very proud of their beef and pork. You can get a wonderful dish called bistecca alla fiorentina, which is basically a T-bone and a New York steak slabbed on a plate, cooked rare, and about 3 inches thick. It's grilled with nothing but salt and pepper and rosemary, and it's divine. Salumi, or charcuterie products, are also big in the Tuscan region. So we lunched on salami, prosciutto, and something called lardo, which is essentially pork fat that's been cured in salt and pepper and kept in slabs of marble. It sounds strange, but it's amazingly delicious. The other thing about Tuscany is that they don't put any salt in their bread. There are two stories about why this is true. The first holds that during the Middle Ages, salt was taxed so highly that the people of Florence just couldn't afford it to put in their food. Another goes back to the time when Florence and Pisa were bitter rivals. The Pisan armies blocked shipments of salt from reaching Florence in an attempt to get them to wave the proverbial white flag. The Florentines just ignored this. They just waited out the blockade by eliminating salt from their cooking. Either way, pane toscano has been made without salt ever since, and surprisingly, I found it very tasty. Even a bit sweet. We went to several wine tastings there, including the Capizzano Winery, which resides in a 14th century villa, which was originally owned by one of the Medici family. Yes, that Medici family. Only in Italy. Anyway, it was there that we learned about the popular Super Tuscan wines that are being sold in the States. Super Tuscans are basically a blend of the traditional Sangiovese grape, located in that region, along with small amounts of Merlot and Syrah. I even tasted one that had a bit of Grenache, and it was incredible. Another thing the Tuscans do is enjoy their post-dinner reverie with some Vinsanto, a deliciously sweet and decadent wine that's served with special cookies made just for dunking in it. This, of course, is before the Dolce course, which is the official name for dessert in Italy. Mamma mia! Anyway, that was the Tuscan region. Next week, I'll tell you all about the second half of our Italian odyssey. Thanks for listening. This is Joan Autry with Tutti a Tavola Cooking School. Tutti a Tavola, where you can get your PhD in delicious.